Let the church say amen. What an amazing message from the Christian Sojourners. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. How many of you here today would rather have Jesus than silver and gold? Hallelujah. How many of you are glad that you have Jesus? Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And certainly those songs are befitting as we've been doing a three-part series on the benefits of the children of God. And we realize that being a child of God, we do have some benefits. Amen. And you really, no matter how much we try to explain those benefits or describe them, you really don't understand those benefits until you have received them. And once you have received them, and once you have experienced those benefits for yourself, amen, it's an amazing, awesome experience. We certainly do thank God for today and being here in worship with one with another. Three reasons why I'm excited, and my usual three reasons is, first of all, because God is still in control. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. What an awesome God we serve. Secondly, I'm excited because there's a word coming from the Lord. It's good to know that God is still speaking to us, especially in these perilous times. Amen. Thirdly, I'm excited because you all could have found many other things to do today, but instead you chose to come out to the house of God and worship him in spirit and in truth. And so since you did, give yourselves a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. I do want to acknowledge that I do have a young man here with me today by the name of Cody McCorkle. Wave your hand, Cody. Everybody turn around and look at him. Make him feel funny. Look at him. There you go. Amen. Hallelujah. Cody is one of my students at in Fauquier County where I work, and he came up to me actually a couple of weeks ago and said, "Miss Johnson, I want to go to church with you." And I says, "Well, have your mom give me a call and we'll get it worked out." And it didn't work out last week, but praise be unto God, Cody's able to be here with us this Sunday. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And now, having said that, I want to call your attention to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans, chapter 5. Not sure what page that's on in the pew Bibles. When somebody finds it, if you'd shout it out. What page was that? Page 832. Amen. 832 of your pew Bibles. If you're there, will you say amen?
Amen.
All right. Romans chapter 5. We're going to begin reading in verse 6, and we'll read down through verse 11. Verse 6 says, "For we were yet without strength, or when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Hallelujah. I want to use for a subject just for a few moments in your hearing this morning as we talk on the subject of the benefits of the child of God. And we continue that in part three, the benefits of the child of God. Amen. On last week, we dealt with verses 6 through 8. And as we dealt with verses 6 through 8, there were basically four things that we said last week. We said, first of all, that we need to realize, in order to appreciate what God has done for us, that we need to appreciate where we were. And where we were is that we were without strength. We saw that in verse 6. It said, "For when we were yet without strength." And the thing that we said about being without strength is that we were weak, we were worthless, we were useless, we were helpless, we were hopeless, and we were destitute and we had no power to make the necessary changes that needed to be made in our lives. And so therefore we were without strength. We talked about that and we said, if we're ever going to appreciate what God has done for us as his children, we need to be reminded of where we were and how we used to be. The second thing we said last week was that we were ungodly folks. We were ungodly. In other words, the fact that we were ungodly said that we were not like God. We were living and we were acting differently from God. We had a different lifestyle than God. And we said that God is holy. We said he is perfect. And we said that man was not like God. Man was imperfect. But yet the Bible says that even yet in due time, Christ died for us, even though we were not like God. And we said, hey, if you're going to ever learn to appreciate what God has done for you and the state that he has placed us in, we must remember that we at one particular point in time did not have a desire to live like God. Hallelujah. And then we went on to say that not only did he do that, but it said that he did it in due time. And we said that the Bible doesn't say Jesus did it, but it says Christ. Now, we know that Jesus and Christ is the same individual. But Paul specifically mentions Christ's name here is because Christ is the anointed one. And we says, hey, that lets us know that not anybody could have died. Hallelujah. Not anybody could have died and God would have accepted the price or the payment for the death. But Christ Jesus was the anointed one. He's the one that was prophesied in the Old Testament that would come and die for our sins. And so he did die for our sins. And then we went on to say also that, yes, it was Jesus who died. And we saw that also in verse 6. It says, for. In other words, it gives a reason. The reason why we are justified. The reason why we are declared righteous in the eyesight of God is if we've never committed a crime is because he died. And I can't emphasize that enough, because he died, he paid the price. And then finally, we concluded by saying that love will go all the way. Hallelujah. We said love will go all the way. And in other words, we said, hey, in spite of the fact that we were weak, in spite of the fact that we were worthless, but God, in spite of the fact that we were powerless, but God, in spite of the fact that we were destitute and without hope, but God, we went on to say that even though we were his enemies and we were fighting against him, but God, even in the midst of while we were doing all those things, Jesus stepped up to the plate and hit a home run. Good God Almighty. I don't know about you all, but if I had time, I'd preach it all over again. Hallelujah. And so today we want to pick up where we left off last week. And as we continue to talk about the benefits of the child of God. And so what we find today, after we realize that God commended his love for us, that he put it on display, that while we were still yet sinners, the anointed one, the one who had been prophesied about, died for us. He paid the price. And then the Bible says in verse 9, it says, much more than being now justified by his blood. In other words, what is Paul trying to say here? What he's trying to say is that first of all today, my brothers and sisters, is that we must have a more reasonable expectation today than we did before he saved us. Let me make it clear. I said we ought to have a more reasonable expectation now than we did before we got saved. In other words, before we got saved, we felt like we had this thing called an entitlement. We felt like we were entitled to certain things. But the thing we failed to realize is that we were never entitled to anything. As a matter of fact, I find that especially with a lot of our young people today, if you do something for them one time, they really expect you to keep on doing it. Can I get a witness here? And so in spite of how disobedient they may have been, in spite of how disrespectful they may have been, because you did something for them once, they expect you to keep on doing it in spite of how they behave, in spite of how they respond, in spite of irresponsibleness. It's called an entitlement. You're supposed to do this for me because you did it once. But we got a different expectation now, and I'm going to make it clear today. And so when the Bible says much more than, in other words, there are fewer obstacles in the way today than there were before we got saved. And so if when we were enemies, God overcame all that was in the way of our salvation, much more have we reason to expect that he will afford us protection now that we are his friends. In other words, if I could expect God to do something for me when I wasn't his child, good God Almighty, then how much more should I expect God to do something for me now that I am his child? I wish I had a witness here. As a matter of fact, I could travel to somebody else's residence and I could expect them to give me something to eat or to give me a seat in their house. But when I'm at home, God Almighty, when I'm at home, I go in the refrigerator, I lay across the bed, I sit on the sofa, I roll around in the floor, I flip the television channel because I'm at home. In other words, my expectations of my benefits are higher when I'm at home than I am when I'm away from home. Hallelujah. And so therefore, Paul says, when before we were justified, before we were declared righteous in the eyesight of God, he said, we had expectations. And now let me show you something. Let me share something with you. Before I got saved, I expected to make some money. Before I got saved, I expected to get a house. I expected to have a car. I expected to have friends. I expected to have family. But after I got saved, I expected to have joy. Come on, somebody. After I got saved, I expected to have peace that surpasses all understanding. After I got saved, I expected to have salvation. I expected to have a peace of mind. I expected to have love. I expected to have tenderness and godliness and kindness. I expected to have patience after I got saved. Come on, somebody. I'm talking to somebody who has been born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you don't realize the power that God has given you. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're thinking about the fact that I just don't have patience and right now I don't have joy. Well, you need to expect to have those things because when you expect to have it, then God will give it to you. Come on, somebody. You got to walk by faith and not by sight. You see, we as brothers and sisters in Christ, we have received all of these benefits, and yet these benefits have to be manifested to a sin-sick world. I don't know about you, but I refuse to buy a brand new car and just leave it parked in the garage. God Almighty. In other words, if I buy a brand new car, I'm going to clean it up. I'm going to shine it up. I'm going to cruise it up and down the streets. As a matter of fact, I might honk the horn in front of your house just so you know I got a new car. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Hey, you remember when you bought that new car and when you got in, the seats smelled brand new and you had all these new gadgets that you had never seen before. You didn't know how to operate half of it, but you were just excited that you had a new car. And usually when you be bored about going places now, all of a sudden you want to go everywhere. Ain't got no money because after you done made your payment, you know you were broke. Come on, somebody. But you still want to drive that car because it's brand new and you want somebody to see you with the sunroof open, with the windows down. Come on, somebody. It's cold outside, but you got the windows down because you want somebody to see you. Am I right about it? You were excited about having that new car and you wanted to show it off. Well, how much more when we are a child of God and he's put us in a brand new vehicle? I don't know about you, but before I got saved, I was driving an old car. Come on, somebody. It was an old clunker, was breaking down on side of the road, but now I got a brand new vehicle. And this brand new vehicle is called the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost drives me to wherever God wants me to be. And I want you to know that as the Holy Ghost is driving me, God has put me on display. And every now and then you need to roll your windows down and let somebody see your joy. You need to roll your windows down and let them see you got peace that surpasses all understanding. You need to roll your windows down and let them see that love is hanging from the rearview mirror. Good God Almighty. What a good God whom we serve. So we need to have a more reasonable expectation. It takes us back to verse 6 when it says, when we were yet without strength. In other words, we expected to get up in the mornings and be weak and to have no hope. We expected to be hungover before we got saved. Come on, somebody. We expected not to have any money in the bank before we got saved. We expected folks to walk off and leave us before we got saved. We expected to be mistreated. But I want you to know that now that I've been born again, my expectations are different. I expect myself to get up now on Sunday mornings and go to church where I can hear a word from the Lord because I'm expecting God to speak to me when I get there. And I want you to know that coming to God's house on Sunday morning is never in vain. I wish I had a witness here. Even if you show up in God's house and you don't feel like you've heard anything that relates to you, you bet your bottom dollar that God's going to put somebody in your pathway. Throughout that week and before the week's over, the message that you heard, you're going to be able to share it and use it to minister to somebody else. And so whenever you come to God's house, it's never in vain. And I don't know about you, but I always feel a little bit better when I leave before I got here. Hallelujah. I always feel a little bit better. And so therefore, the second thing I want you to see, stay with me. Look in verse 9 still, the second part. It says, justified by his blood. Then it says what? We shall be saved from wrath through him. Oh, Lord, have mercy. We shall be saved from wrath through him. What is Paul saying here? What Paul is saying here, secondly, is he says our appointment with hell has been canceled. Good God Almighty. I don't know about you, but that's where you should have started jumping and shouting right there. Because whether we realize it or not, that every last one of us, when we came in and when we were born into this world, we had a death sentence. I wish I had a witness here. In other words, we were born without salvation. We were born in sin and shaping in iniquity. And our parents had to raise us up and train us up and take us to church so that we could be led back to Jesus Christ. So that we could understand and be educated that he died and paid the price so we could now have a relationship with God. And now the thing that we have to understand is that that appointment that we had has been canceled, which means we don't have to keep that appointment. It would be almost as if you had an appointment to have surgery on next Friday. And then all of a sudden you went into prayer with God and God healed you. And then the doctor called and said your appointment has been canceled. You'd be just as excited as could be if you didn't have to go through surgery. Well, I want you to know that if you're a child of God and you've been born again, your appointment with hell has been canceled. That place of eternal suffering and damnation and fire, you ain't got to show up because you no longer have an appointment. But instead of an appointment in a place like that, you now have an appointment in a place where the streets are paved with gold, where there's no sickness and no sadness and no suffering. Stay with me, church. Stay with me. He said, we shall be saved from wrath through him. In other words, from the punishment that is due to sin. And so therefore, verse 10 gives us the reason. It says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. And what is that saying? What that's saying is reconciled means to change mutually. Now watch this. To change mutually, the word mutually, reciprocally, is in the manner of giving and receiving. And so the thing that Paul says here is, when he says when we were reconciled by God, he basically says that God willingly changed us because we were willing to allow God to make the necessary changes. And what he's saying is that change is a two-way street. He's saying that you let God speaks to you, you respond. God said, I want to bless you. You say, God bless me real good. Can I get a witness here? And so God works on our behalf by changing us. And then after God changes us, we work on his behalf by leading somebody else to be changed. Good God Almighty. That's good news, because we got to understand that it is a two-way street, that when God changes me, he now can use me to change somebody else. And so the changes that comes in my life is contingent upon who God is and not who I am. Lord have mercy. And so when people look at you like you've lost your mind, you need to realize that they're not your God. Good God Almighty. They are not your God, and they don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. You see, sometimes we get discouraged because we find ourselves focusing on people whom we see every day. And is there anybody here who knows that folks can really get you frustrated? Folks can really get you knocked off course. As a matter of fact, if you're not careful, folk will have you with your head sagging and hanging down and almost like you ain't never been saved again. And that's because you got your eyes on the situation. But you got to get your eyes off the situation and get your eyes back on the one who walked on water. And his name is Jesus. Come on, somebody. Don't you remember when Peter was in the boat? And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, he said, bid me to come unto thee. And the Bible says that Jesus told Peter, come on out here, Peter. And the Bible says Peter started walking on water. Good God Almighty. But I want you to know the winds were blowing and the waves were out of control. And Peter started focusing on the wind and the waves. And the Bible says when he started focusing on the wind and the waves, he started to sink. And I want you to know that people can be wind and they can be waves. Come on, somebody. And when you start focusing on people too much, you'll start to sink if you're not careful. But if you have been sinking, all you got to do is be like Peter and say, Lord, save me. Because when Peter said, Lord, save me, the Lord lifted him up out of the water and carried him back to the boat. And so some of us just need to be pulled up out of the water, out of the trials and tribulations of life, and placed back in the boat. Good God Almighty. Give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. You see, reconcile, again, it means giving and receiving. It says that God will continue to make the necessary changes in my life as I continue to worship him and praise him in spirit and in truth. And you see, in other words, every time God does something, I got to do something in response. So, first of all, God initiates the relationship between us and him. He initiates the relationship by coming and finding us where we are. And none of us came looking for Jesus, but Jesus came looking for us.
he finds us where we are and he speaks to us. He introduces himself. And then we respond by saying, I accept you. And then after we respond by saying, I accept you, then he responds by giving us an assignment. And after he gives us an assignment, we respond by carrying it out. And after we carry it out, he responds by blessing us. Come on, somebody. And after he blesses us, then we respond by giving him all the glory. And after we give him all the glory, he responds by blessing us some more. And then after he blesses us some more, we respond by giving him some more glory. And I want you to know that all I'm saying is that the more you respond to God positively, the more God's going to bless you. Hallelujah. The more he's going to bless you. You see, each is acting in return to the other. God moves, we move. God moves, we move. And sometimes God moves and we ain't moved yet. And God said, I'm waiting for you to move. Come on, somebody. It's almost like playing checkers. Can I get a witness here? It's like playing checkers or chess. And chess takes longer than checkers because in chess, you really have to study your move, your strategy. As a matter of fact, a chess game could take days, to be honest with you. But with God, God moves. He opens a door and we still stand in the hallway. Come on, somebody. I said, he opens a door. We're still standing in the hallway. And we're in the hallway saying, God, I'm waiting on you. God said, the door is open. All you got to do is walk in. Come on, somebody. And I want you to know that somebody's sitting here today. God has already opened the door, but you're still in the hallway. Come on, somebody. I'm right about it. I'm right about it. As a matter of fact, God done closed the door and you done kick somebody else's door in. Can I get a witness here? I'm preaching to somebody in here. I want you to know walking through the wrong door is just as bad as standing in the hallway. Am I right about it? So therefore, the appointment with hell has been canceled. That is such good news. I could just stay there all day long. Am I right about it? But you see, the thing that Satan wants us to think, he wants us to think that the appointment is still kept. Because if the appointment is kept, then that means he can control us. But I want you to know the appointment has been canceled because the price has been paid. And I'm excited about it. Good God Almighty. Thirdly, lest I keep you too long. The third point I want you to see is in the second part of verse 10. It says, to God, reconciled to God by the death of his son. Reconciled to God by the death of his son. We were reconciled to God by the death of his son. The third thing I want you to see is that Jesus is the one who canceled your appointment. Good God Almighty. I said Jesus is the one who canceled your appointment. And because the Bible says we were reconciled. In other words, we were saved. We were delivered. We were protected because of what Jesus did on the cross. Lord have mercy. Again, we already talked about this reconciliation. We talked about the fact of how it's a two-way street and that it involves God moving on our behalf and then us responding to move on God's behalf in return of what God has already done for us. And so Jesus is the one who paid the price. He's the one who canceled the appointment. Can you picture Jesus on the phone? Satan has an appointment with us because we're destined to go to that place of suffering and torment. We're separated from God. But then I want you to know that the moment you accept Jesus Christ, Jesus gets on the telephone and calls up Satan, calls up hell, and says, hey, he says, I just want to let you all know that Ron Johnson had an appointment. Come on, somebody. Ron Johnson had an appointment to show up there in hell where he would suffer eternally. But I want you to know that just early this morning, he accepted me as his Lord and Savior. And since he accepted me, his appointment has been canceled. God Almighty. What a good God we serve. Some of us were destined to go to that place. Y'all know where we were. You know about the stuff we were doing. You know the way our minds were thinking. You know how we just couldn't get it right. But Jesus made the appointment and he called and canceled the appointment and said, you no longer have to go to that place. I'm so glad that Jesus paid the price. You see, the Bible tells me that he was born of the Virgin Mary. Can I tell the story? Somebody say, go ahead, tell the story. He was born of the Virgin Mary. And the Bible says that at the age of 12, he was at the temple asking questions and giving answers. Am I right about it? And then the Bible tells me that at the age of 30, that he was down by the Jordan River. Down by the Jordan River, John the Baptist said, behold, Jesus, the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sins of the world. Can you imagine how excited John must have been? I mean, you've been preaching and teaching about the Messiah is coming, and all of a sudden he shows up right in front of you. Good God Almighty. And then the Bible tells me that he walked the dusty roads. Said that he opened the eyes of the blind. Can I get a witness here? That the blind was able to see. Said he gave the dumb the ability to talk. Good God Almighty. Said he raised Lazarus from the dead. Am I right about it? Good God Almighty. The Bible tells me that he died on an old rugged cross. I said, an old rugged cross. And then they took him down and buried him in an old borrowed tomb. And the Bible says he laid there for 3 days, Friday, Saturday, but early on Sunday morning, God Almighty. Early on Sunday morning, said he got up with all power in his hands. And somebody said that Jesus said, God has given me all power in heaven and in earth. And I want you to know that since he's got all power and since he paid the price, my last point is we can joy in God. You see, earlier in the messages, we talked about the fact that we could rejoice in tribulation. Do you remember that? We talked about rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. But I want you to know, when you get down to verse 11, it says, not only so, but we also joy in God. It says, through the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received restoration. Now, I want you to know that we were broken and we were torn down. But Jesus, when he died on the cross, he restored us back to the rightful place where we needed to be. In other words, he took us right back to the garden, took us back to the garden, to the tree where Adam and Eve had eaten. And just as if they never eaten, he said, you're properly restored to the place where you need to be. But here it adds that we rejoice in God. In other words, when we rejoice in God, we rejoice in his existence. Aren't you glad that God can just speak and stuff just shows up? We rejoice in his existence. We rejoice in his attributes. We rejoice in his justice. We rejoice in his holiness. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. We rejoice in his mercy. Aren't you glad he had mercy on you? Good God Almighty. We rejoice in his truth. Aren't you glad that if you really want to know what's going on in the world, all you got to do is go to the word of God. You really want to know what decision to make? You just got to go to the word of God. You really want to know how to deal with people? Just go to the word of God. Am I right about it? We rejoice in his love. Aren't you glad that he chose to love you right where you are? He didn't wait till you got better, but he said, I'm going to love you just the way you are. We rejoice in the fact that the universe is under his administration. Good God, from Mount Zion, I'm excited about it. I said, the universe is under his administration. Can I get a witness here? He's omnipotent. Am I right about it? He has all power in his hands. I rejoice in the fact that he's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. I rejoice in the fact that he's omniscient. He knows a thought before I even think about it. I rejoice in the fact that he's unchangeable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You ain't got to worry about God switching up on you. I rejoice in the fact that he's so high, I can't get over him. I rejoice in the fact that he's so low, I can't get under him. I rejoice in the fact that he's so wide, I can't get around him. I rejoice in the fact that he's strength when I'm weak. Good God from Mount Zion. I rejoice in the fact that I still got hope when I'm disappointed. For he is my hope. Folks will let you down, but God will never disappoint you. Can I get a witness here? I'm closing right now. I'm going to my seat. But before I take my seat, I want you to know that God is the only one who can restore you when you've been broken down. God's the only one who will stop on the side of the road when you've had a flat tire on your vehicle and make a necessary change so you can get back on the highway again. God is the only one who will bless you real good. He's the only one who will love you unconditionally. He's the only one who will bring you out of darkness into his marvelous light. If he's been good to you, won't you give him a hand clap of praise? Give him a hand clap of praise. Give him glory for his goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to have more reasonable expectations. Your expectations now of God ought to be more reasonable than what they were. Hallelujah. And now you expect God to give you joy even if you don't have money in your pocket. Hallelujah. You expect God to give you peace even when it seems like the whole world around you is falling apart. You expect God to do those things. Your appointment with hell has been canceled. You've accepted Christ Jesus. That appointment is canceled. It is null and void. Jesus is the one who canceled the appointment. And we need to always joy in God. He changes not. Hallelujah. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Perhaps there's somebody here today. You've heard the message. You've heard the message about the benefits of God, the children of God. You haven't been feeling good because you've been wondering when that day is going to come when you may pass away. And you've been worrying about where your eternal destination is going to be. You've been worrying and wondering about where you're going to be, what you're going to be, how you're going to be.
Perhaps it's because you've never asked Christ Jesus to come into your heart and to change your heart and to take control of your life and to place you into the family of God. If you're that person today, if you're that person today, you've never done that. You've never truly accepted him in your heart. Will you just raise your hand and then put it back down? Just raise your hand and put it back down. Just think about his goodness. Think about the price that he paid. And then ask yourself, am I really experiencing his benefits? If you're not, will you accept him today? Just raise your hand and put it back down if you want to accept him today. You want him to make that change in your life. You want him to give you that power to overcome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I see one. Will there be another? Is there another who desires that power to change today? That power to become his child. That no matter what you experience in life, you know you're going to overcome it because you've been placed into the family of God. Is there another today? God already knows who you are. He already knows if you have not accepted him. If you're that person today, will you just accept him? You don't have to worry about anybody's looking at you. Every head is bowed, every eye's closed. It's between you and God. Hallelujah. It's between you and God. If you're that person today, will you raise your hand? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We do have another. We have two. We have two. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Hallelujah. What I'm going to do right now, with every head bowed and every eye still closed, the two who raised their hand to accept Jesus, I'm going to ask if you would boldly just come down here and meet me right here in front of the altar. Just come and meet me right here in front of this altar. Don't worry about anybody looking at you. It's between you and the Lord. Come right here. Hallelujah. And trust him. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if you be ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father, which is in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us pray. My gracious Father and our God, which art in heaven, I thank you, Lord God, for these two souls who have come forward today because they are receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. It's because, Lord God, they've heard today about your power to change from within. They've heard about the fact that they knew about your power, but they need to respond to it by desiring to let you have control of their lives. And I pray now, Father, that you would seal them in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father God, that you would take control of their lives by encouraging them and causing them to know that from this day forward that you have placed them into the family of God and that their appointment with hell has been canceled, Lord God. They shall spend eternity with you, dear Heavenly Father, where they shall rejoice forevermore. And then, Lord God, remind them they have the power to say no to sin. They have the power to say no to what's wrong and to do what's right. God, they are not perfect. They will not be perfect until you come to get us. But, Lord God, cause them to know that they have salvation and that they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord God, encourage them right now in the name of Jesus. Let them know that as they leave this place, they go changed. They go differently than when they arrived. And God, we give your name all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Bring healing to their hearts and to their minds. Teach them day by day. Walk with them and encourage them and remind them that they're your children. We thank you and we praise you now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah.